This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I think it's so important. You are a leading commentator on digital health innovation, and I think it's just been sensational. Digital health is a huge support for people these days. It certainly supports in a huge way the healthcare system, and also Australia's facing the challenges of COVID-19. I take it this whole COVID experience for you, Andrew, has been a learning curve?
Yeah, absolutely. I wear a few different hats. I think one of the hats, working in an emergency department, where we obviously went through some very uncertain times, not knowing what to expect at the early stages, and then getting a better understanding, and obviously seeing all the measures that have been put in place, doing such a good job of containing the virus here in Australia. And then in the digital health space, working with the Australian Digital Health Agency, it's been an amazing experience to see how, at a moment in history where we needed to find new ways to do things, that digital health was in a space where it could start filling that gap that was created by, you know, social isolation and restrictions and not necessarily able to give healthcare in the same way that we're used to. And seeing that the digital services like telehealth, teleconsultation, have done an incredible job of helping fill that gap for people and healthcare workers.
Well, of course, 2019-20, we've had natural disasters, we've had COVID-19, and that's increased levels of stress and, of course, depression, anxiety, suicide, and, of course, with the lockdown in Victoria, we heard a lot about that. So I guess you've got health figures pre-COVID and you've got figures after COVID. So what have you experienced, and just how dramatic has COVID-19 been to the health landscape?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, especially when in that area, and as you mentioned, it's been one of those years where it wasn't just about COVID-19. 2020 has had so many different, you know, impacts on how we, you know, exist. And I think that, you know, prior to this year, the statistics weren't encouraging when it came to mental health specifically. We knew there was a crisis. We knew that it was potentially going to become something we had to manage. And early results showed about one in five of us at any given time, you know, suffering from mental health, being in a place where we needed some support. Since 2020 began and since the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen a significant increase in the number of people reporting that there's been a decline in their mental health, upwards of 75-78% now in a recent Monash University study. Mm. And what that's just proven is that there's not necessarily more people suffering or more people being in a position where it's their first instance of mental health. I just think the challenges of this year have uncovered just how significant the problem is in this country and how much we need to make sure that we're focused on having the services and the processes in place that our health system and our healthcare providers can provide the treatment and the management that's needed for all of us.
Well, you mentioned one in five Australians, and when I saw the information that was sent through before I did this interview with you today, seeing that it's not just young people, you know, people think, oh, well, so young people are under so much stress these days, but the ages go from 16 to 85. That is amazing.
Yeah, and the reasons why each of those different areas of the community are being challenged are different, but I guess it's just proven how much of an impact it's had across the board. You know, obviously in those earlier generations and in the younger people, there's challenges around schooling, and there was periods of time where obviously disruption of exams for those, you know, leaving school. Through those middle age groups, obviously challenges around unemployment and employment stability and relationship challenges. And then obviously a lot of financial and social isolation and challenges associated with those, you know, at the top end of our community. So no one is being spared. We need to make sure that we are across the board providing services that are adaptable and customised to each of the different challenges that they're facing. And I guess that's where the Australian Digital Health Agency is trying to pull together a connected healthcare system using digital tools to make sure that all of us, no matter where we exist within our community, can access those services to provide better care.
part of that information that I received, it said due to COVID-19, it's created a barrier for Australians who previously used social and personal support networks of friends and family to adapt to challenging situations or a crisis. So digital health is super important at this time, isn't it? Someone you can turn to using a platform that young and not so young people are used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it really is an interesting point where we discuss that that isolation, those restrictions, the decrease in movement, whether it's just being able to go round to family and friends' houses, whether it's travelling across borders and being able to spend time with family and friends, I think that isolation and those challenges have meant we've needed to find new ways to stay connected. And socially, we've been, you know, becoming more savvy when it comes to using video platforms like Zoom and other, you know, other ways of staying connected, whether that's socially or even in a business sense. And when it comes to healthcare, it's exactly the same. And that's where digital health, the Australian Digital Health Agency, is being driven by how can we harness these tools to make sure that people aren't putting their health on hold, whether that's physical health or mental health, and they're staying connected with that network of people that are so important to remaining healthy. That's your primary care doctors. In some circumstances, it might be specialists, and doing consultations remotely with our specialist doctors and also with our mental health care support team. And I think it's about people being encouraged to take that first step, to use these new innovations to get a better understanding of it, because I think, like a lot of people, finding there are efficiencies there that we can apply to help lessen some of the challenges of 2020.
Talking to Dr. Andrew Rockford about digital health and this particular platform that's available to everybody. Andrew, what is My Health Record Mental Health Toolkit? What is that?
So the My Health Record is a national database for our medical records. It was the process of, we all have one unless you decided to opt out of having your electronic medical record accessible. It's a secure space where healthcare providers can access information about your test results, any type of radiology you may have had, notes that are uploaded from your primary care doctor right through to visits to the emergency department. So that's the My Health Record. The My Health Record Mental Health Toolkit is another innovation in the space where your healthcare professional can offer you services and a toolkit to be able to manage your mental health. So I guess it's another example of a digital health service or innovation that's changing the way that healthcare practitioners help offer care and support to people with a focus on mental health.
Andrew, we've seen you on many media programs. You're a well-known face on that. How did you get involved with this particular platform?
So a few years ago, I recognised that access to healthcare was something that not all people had. And to me, I think it was an opportunity for me in the position that I was in to try to explore how I could help people access all the services that are needed. So I've been interested and developed my own digital healthcare company a few years ago, and then was fortunate enough to be approached and start working with the Australian Digital Health Agency on something that is pushing forward Australia when it comes to being the most connected, advanced and successful when it comes to providing healthcare for all. We can't fill all the gaps by just training more doctors or building more facilities. We have to innovate. And I think that's where digital health, the Australian Digital Health Agency and everyone in this space is trying to create simplified ways to harness new technology to ensure that no one falls through the gaps, that people have access to the care that they need. And that's something that, you know, I'm a huge supporter of and trying to do what little I can to encourage people to explore this space, because it is the future of healthcare. We will see more of it. It's not that it will replace traditional healthcare. You'll always need those opportunities to be face-to-face with your healthcare workers, but it's just a way to complement it and help fill some of those gaps.
Very much so. We'll put up, when this goes up on podcast, we'll put the links, the appropriate links, so people can check it out. But for the people listening in at the moment who are saying, look, I've got a member of the family, it could be me, it could be a loved one, it could be a friend, you know, suffering mental health and they want to use this, what's your advice to them? I mean, it's always, particularly country people, and we have a lot of cane farmers up here in this area, and they're tough blokes, and it gets back sometimes to that situation where, well, I'll handle it myself. I just need to brighten up a bit. What's your advice to them as they're listening in now?
Yeah, I think that is a well-held tradition, especially for Australians, that, you know, we have that stiff upper lip and we kind of carry on. I think what we need to start moving towards is more of an understanding that admitting that our mental health isn't 100% and that we're not as mentally fit as we would like to be, and being able to ask for help is a strength. It's not actually a weakness. And I think that that's where we can start to encourage people that, in the same way that if you break a bone, you go to a doctor and they give you treatment and management to fix that broken bone, and in time you heal and you go back to doing whatever you were doing. Mental health is the same. The services are there. The professionals are there to be able to give you the best treatment and management plan to help fix what's broken so that you can go back to being who you are and enjoying the things that you enjoy. And if you're worried about somebody, I would just encourage that you never overlook that. As much as they are challenging conversations a lot of the time, you'll never regret asking somebody if they need help. You may regret not asking. When there are significant challenges, that there's not a barrier for that, for one, for you to ask for help, and in the same way for them to ask of help of you. And I think for a very long time, we kind of bumble along, you know, not speaking enough about how we're doing mentally and those days where we're down or where we're, you know, and even on the days where we're up. And I think that if it becomes just a natural part of your relationship with people, and I'm not saying it's for everybody, and I'm not saying you'd have that type of relationship with everybody, but I guess it's about finding those people who you have that trust with, who you can, you know, feel support you in the same way that you support them, and ensuring that it's a relationship built on the ability to know that when you need them, they'll be there. And I think that's not just a matter of having a conversation. It's also supporting right the way through to encouraging how to find the help, where to find the help, and being somebody that they can rely on, because in turn, you may need to rely on them. And I think it just starts by being open and honest.
All right, final question. For those people who want to find out the telltale signs, if they might have somebody in their home, it might be their children, it might be their brother, husband, wife, whatever, what are the first telltale signs? What should they be looking for?
Well, the first telltale sign is if you have a gut feeling that something's wrong. If you know somebody well enough, you will recognize the signs. It might not be obvious or overt. You might just get the sense that they're not themselves. And it might be something as simple as they're not excited about the things that they're usually excited about. They're not doing the things that they normally enjoy doing. They might have, you know, changed the way they're eating. They might have changed the way that they're behaving, their sleep patterns, how engaged they are in your life as much as you're in their life. And I guess those are little telltale signs about people that you know, and that you know to a point, that will start to kind of create that sense of discomfort in you. And I think that it's about exploring that. And not being afraid to trust that if you know somebody well enough, you'll start to recognize some of those small, subtle signs. A lot of the time, they're not overt signs, they're subtle signs. And that's why I think it comes down to making sure that you don't ignore it. And as I said, just ask, just take the time.
Yes.
Find the right situation and ask the question. It's not an easy question. They're challenging. But as I said, you'll never regret asking if someone's okay.
Absolutely. Dr. Andrew, thank you so much for talking with us today. As I said, I'll put all of the details up underneath this podcast when it goes up, and people will be able to, well, you know, contact the digital health, because as you said in the interview, this is the way of the future and it can only help. Thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks. Have a great day.